This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us today. First of all, we want to say thanks to Rob. Rob here. You left already. Figured it was going to be a bad talk. No problem. Today, Don, this is Don Caldwell.
And that's Mark Bufula.
Thank you. And today we're going to have, this was originally, when Rob called me up about a couple months ago and said, did you do anything? I said, yeah, let me do a whole restoration of a pinball game. And after I got into the cabinet about with 1 week to go before Expo, I realized I was not going to finish off the playfield. So we're going to just do a cabinet restoration. We've got a cabinet here you're going to see in a little bit. We're going to run it up and down the main aisle, so I'll ask that the main aisle be cleared so that we can show you what it actually looks like when it's completely done. And we're going to, hopefully we'll have some fun. We've got 7 play fields and a mystery gift over on the end over there. We've got a lot. I got over to Jim Schoberg's house, and I pried, believe me, pried numerous t-shirts, hats, and things out of his basement.
Surprisingly strong. Hard to pry all things out of his hands.
And on top of that, I just now noticed that we've got a whole bunch of translites here. And we're going to...
We don't know who owns them, but we're going to give them away.
Yeah, unroll them on the front. So I've got a whole bunch of translates we want to give away too, okay? We're going to do that in the second half of the talk. Okay, so ready to go? Okay, it's up to you, Harold. You're the man.
Okay, here's the agenda. This is what we're going to try and carry through today. We'll talk first about the repair methods on the cabinet, prepping it, the materials, the fillers and sanding. Then we'll go to move to talk about painting, prep primer, sealer, and paint, then decal application, and then clear coating over decals.
So if you're a purist out there, you're going to hate this. Let me just start it right off in the beginning. You're going to be thinking that it's the worst thing you can do is clear coat a decal and use a gloss techniques on the cabinet. So.
We're not presenting this as the only way to do things or the best way to do things, but this is what we did. And after that, trivia questions with prizes, pinball or rock and roll questions, your choice.
Okay. So first of all, I'd like to thank a lot of people that helped me in this restoration. Chad Keller gave me a lot of information. Chris Hutchins, is Chad Keller here? Chad, you want to, if you're here, you want to stand up? And... Okay. Chris Hutchins, are you here? I don't know. Okay. Mark Sanders, I don't think you're here. And Robert Winter isn't here either. But I want to thank those people that helped with the work I had to do on the cabinet restoration. But I do know who's here, and that's Brian from HNSA. Brian was kind enough to say he would do a fix on an attack from Mars playfield, and he's going to show it to you just briefly. Brian, are you here?
I'm right here.
You want to do the camera? Okay, we're going to do the cabinet first, okay, and then Brian's going to show you the playfield.
Be sure and remind us if we just plow right through.
It's your, because I won't, we might. Go. Okay, Don, you're up. Okay, I'm off.
You're up.
Okay, I started by getting a hold of a Congo cabinet, figuring this is probably one of the best opportunities to tackle a good cabinet. Unfortunately, when I first looked at it, I was said, oh, this is going to be an easy job. You've been into these, right? And then the next thing you notice, oops, there's a little corner damage. And boy, it's pretty interesting inside this cabinet, whatever happened in there. Came from England, by the way, the cabinet. Very dirty in the bottom. Of course, you're pretty seeing this quite often where it's just, there's kind of streaking and lines and all sorts of interesting things around the bottom of the cabinet. And then at this point, I removed everything from inside the cabinet, and you can see how dirty it is in there. And of course, I don't want to paint the inside, the bottom of it, because I want it to look a little more original. Right? Next thing I noticed was, guess what? There's a triangular hole for Congo, and I need a round hole for Attack from Mars. So I had to make a piece of wood and cut a hole in it, and then I had to glue it in. Then I got into the corner and said, oh, this is interesting. I'm sure you've seen this before. And I had to remove all of the material that was not solidly attached to it. And then I said, okay, what kind of materials are we going to use? Well, the guy I worked with is a body man and a painter for Ford Motor Company.
We have handouts. No need to scribble notes.
Okay. So I got a home. His name is Larry Adams. He works for Ford, and he gets to paint the GT cars. I don't know if you're familiar with the GT cars. They look like a GT40, about 500 horsepower, car supercharged. He does their paint work for them, and he's obviously pretty good at body and paint. So he recommended we use those materials, which I do not recommend using. That first one, the first type, the epoxy number one, I do not recommend using that. It had too long of a set time for my patience level. Okay, so
which is very low.
As you can imagine. Okay, so then I used the second one was a filler, used as a, after I did the rough, then I used the filler. And then, as you can see here, I've actually started to put the rough coats on both the on the side and on the bottom. And I'm going to sand this when I get it all filled in with it, go from an 80 to a 120 to a 240 using a TA sander.
TA sander, that's dual action or orbital random orbit sander. Don't use a palm sander.
You can, but I think it'll take a long time. Here I'm filling in more of the corners, and this is the rough state. Okay. And then we're filling in the bottoms because I figured I didn't want those holes to be showing in the bottom. As you know, plywood has a tendency sometimes to delayer a little bit, and the filler material falls out, and I wanted it to look good. Again, here what I'm going to do on the bottom of this to clean this thing up, and you can see it's partly clean at this point, is I'm going to use an 80, a 150, and then a 240 grit. Okay, we're filling in, now we're at the head, and there's a couple things I did. The corner was beat up, but there's something else. If you take a look at the photo on your right there, I decided that I think it would look a little bit better if the edges were glossed. Okay, in other words, I'm using a glazing compound on those edges that you're looking at, so that instead of you seeing the edge of the plywood, you're going to see what you're going to see. It looks like a kind of a smooth, glossy surface. Here we're at the final sanding using 320 grit, okay, after the first application of the filler material. And now we're finishing it off. As you can see, I've already gone into, basically you can see how it's the holes are pretty much done at this point. I'm finishing up the bottom, and I'm going to finish up with a 320 grit on this before we paint it. Inside of the walls were repaired. There were some unwanted holes. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but sometimes on the Williams cabinets, there's occasional holes in that in the side, so I fill those in. I'm not talking the holes they made permanently for the screws, of course. We're talking about, they're called wormholes, and there's these little round holes in there that have no purpose except that it was a defect in the material. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fill that in, and I'm going to mask the bottom because I don't want to paint the bottom surface. I'm finishing up the head here. Now the green you're seeing, that is the second that is the application of that second epoxy filler. And I'm going to smooth sand that. You notice I've used a lot of it on the front of the cabinet to fill in the holes because it was a little, they weren't that big in most places that I had to use the first layer. Okay, here we go to the painting booth. So we've now masked the back, the bottom and the inside with clear. You can use anything, but I just grabbed this. And what we did is the first thing we did is I took a regular spray can of black and I did the edges, the bottom edge, because when we're going to paint it in the paint booth, it's sitting on that edge, so there's no way really to paint it. We're going to clean up that glazing material that I mentioned is on the right, and this is all in the handout, all the type of materials we're using, plus all the grits I'm using. Plus in the handouts, you're going to see what Chad Keller does, you're going to see what Chris Hutchins does, you're going to see what Robert Winter does, and you're going to see what Mark Saunders does, and you're going to see what I do. So it's a complete comparison on the handouts that you're going to get. There's 18,000 ways to do this job and get the same effect.
Let's hope you got good eyesight, because we use some really tiny fonts to get all that stuff.
So here we're outside of it. We're not in the spray booth. We're in their prep booth, and we're shooting the primer in this case. We're using a gray primer, and that's Larry actually doing the work, spraying it. You can see the first one says, what mask? These chemicals don't affect me one bit. You can see his face. He's just horsing around at this point, I think. In the bottom photo, he's actually taking his finger and he's wiping additional primer into some of the very small pinholes that develop when you're priming it.
You find a bigger hole, go back with the glazing material and fix it now. It won't get any better when you paint it.
And then I didn't think I was going to have to work at this, so I wore a white shirt. Okay, so and of course, that was the end of that. We're in the spray booth at this point, and because we want to try to cut down on any kind of the dust that's in there.
And I'm sure all of you have a spray booth that costs
probably in excess of $250,000 in this booth here. It's fully ventilated, it's EPA regulated, and it's got it's temperature controlled, and you'll see we're actually going to bake it at 120 degrees at points. Yes, this is not for people that don't have a paint booth, okay? We just had the opportunity to go to the end extreme on this and just see what would happen. So now I've now had to block sand all that primer off because he put three coats of primer on it, and it's rough, of course. We've now block sanded it down, and we're using 240 and 320 grid paper to sand it all the way down, and occasionally we had to use additional glazing material where we broke through on the primer. We're using a long block sander so that we're trying to not get any waves in the side of those cabinets. So when you look down the cabinet,
look at the very long block of sandpaper he's got. That's how you get the stuff really, really smooth
and flat. And the purpose was, I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes you get these waves in the side of the cabinet, and I was trying to minimize that by doing this. So now we're in the paint booth, and he's starting to apply the black paint. And you can see what we've had to do. Remember I told you I had to paint the bottom of it? You can see in the bottom right-hand corner why that was, because it sits on those horses. And the top we used tie wraps. You can't really see it, but there's wraps going through the holes that are there for the bolt holes for the hinges. We've tied it down to the horses so that it won't fall over, obviously. And he's spraying it, continuing spraying at this point. His operation was he put a paint on, then he puts a sealer on top of the paint. Okay, I'm sorry, he puts a sealer first, then he comes through with the paint second on this. You can see on that bottom thing. He's going to continue to paint, and then he would, obviously at this point, he let me put the primer on, but he said, you can't do any painting after you saw my ability with the primer.
Union rules.
So, we're in the booth on the bottom photograph, and we're baking it for 120 degrees at 25 minutes. That's to cure the paint and the sealer. And the reason we're doing that is that we want to, quickly, you could keep it air dry, not a problem, but then you can't touch or pick it up and you really don't want any flies or anything coming onto it. So we really quickly wanted to set the paint.
Any other steps or that thing's ready? Is it that, ready?
It's ready for decals.
Okay. Decaling. We will be showing you the wet method. This was, we're amateurs at this. Mark has done it some, but so we were at the same level of experience as many of you are right now. So we can show you that even on your first try, you can get fantastic results. Okay, first thing you want to do is set it up on sawhorses at waist height and choose the side that you're going to start working on. We chose one of the long sides. The important thing at the bottom is to dry fit the decal, just to make sure that there's no gross errors, that you're not able to even cover the side that you want to cover. Get a ruler, and you can check the overhang, and remember that you want to align the image to the bottom of the cabinet, or to horizontal. You don't want to work with the edge, because the edge of the paper may not be exactly in line with the axis of the image, okay? Now, grab some Windex, a lot of Windex, make sure you've got a full bottle. And lint-free cloth, don't use paper towels. Paper towels are very abrasive. Use lint-free cloths, okay? Now, after you've cleaned it, soak the surface thoroughly with Windex. Go over to your table and start peeling back the liner on the decal. Go ahead. Spray the decal as you peel, okay? Because that thing is really sticky and it'll get away from you. Look at the bottom, oh! Can you see what that is? That's the label from the Windex bottle. Now stuck in our adhesive, all right? But because it had already been wetted, we could take a plastic scraper and we were able to scrape that off with no damage. So, go ahead. And you can also get a bug in the program. So you wanna do this somewhere that is not outdoorsy, okay? That was just some house bug you might. Okay, so you thoroughly wet the decal, that's on the left, and you thoroughly wet the cabinet. Don't be stingy. Windex is cheap and you need this thing completely wet every millimeter, correct? Now, two people flip it over and you plop it down and you want to first of all check that the image is going to be parallel to the lower edge. Now, one thing we do is we decide that since the lower corners are covered by a leg and this thing is sliding around like it's on ice right now. Take a small brad and a hammer and just tap it in about an eighth of an inch, and that will pin one corner. And then two people and this little pin will make life a lot simpler when you go to squeegee out the decal. Last time with the Windex, you're gonna now put Windex all over the top of the decal. And the reason for that is so that the squeegee won't drag on the decal and damage the decal. So you squeegee from the very center out. You walk all around it, squeegeeing from the center out. More squeegeeing is done. Now you want to get down low and you want to take a look at this thing and make sure you're not leaving any wrinkles and leaving any bubbles. Okay. Once you get it all stuck down with the squeegee, it's not going to move anymore, and you don't want to peel it up. And as you start to approach that nail, when you're about a foot away from it, you can pull that little nail out, and then there won't be any wrinkles as you get closer to the nail. Now, you want to get a good long straight edge for the trimming. So you're going to need a brand new, super fresh razor knife, and you're going to need a good straight edge, something good and true, and that doesn't have a lot of nicks in it. We had a nice long level. Okay, you line it up on there, and we've got some techniques where you line it up by looking from the end, you shine a flashlight from below, and you can feel it by folding over the decal with your hand to make sure that you have the edge of the straight edge, not right on the edge of the cabinet, but just slightly in towards the cabinet. And that is because it's not a true perfect sharp edge. You want to start cutting from the middle out towards the corners. And you're going to freak out a little bit the first time you come across a leg hole when you're doing a side and things like that. But if you go and you use very light pressure and multiple cuts and trust and don't push it and go as slow as your patience will allow you, and you'll get a perfect edge. Have one guy hold the straight edge and the other guy focusing on the cutting. Now, once you've got it all cut, you've got that edge and things are still a little bit wet. So you grab one of your cloths and you start in the decal and you pull out over the edge. You never push back and you never scrub. Always from the inside, out over the edge. Inside, out over the edge. And there you go. It doesn't take very long. And that was the first side we ever did. And it was very, very nice. But it's all, the beauty of that is all based on the fact that there's some very nice decals out there and all that prep work that Mark and his painter buddy did. Let it sit 24 hours. Don't leave it set 3 hours and try and flip it over. 24. This is a multi-day process doing this. Now, get another installer going, but unfortunately we're both named Don, so it made for some comedy when people go, Don do this, Don do that. So this is back box decal. Now the back box decal, when it came to us, had a whole bunch of extra paper on it. So while we were doing the dry fit, we were able to trim a lot of that with scissors, so just a little easier to handle. Okay, again, clean the surface with Windex and a lint-free cloth, and then thoroughly wet it down. Then, as you peel off the adhesive, make sure you soak it down, keep the flies and the labels away. Then, grab it, pick it up, plop it down on there. Now, on the heads, remember how the head is and how they're angled, and you want the image to be straight up and down. If you align the image to the back, it's going to look tilted when you set it up on its legs. Okay, so think about image and not edges. Wet down the surface of the decal. Now, no nails in heads, because that's going to leave a tiny pinhole, and we do not want tiny pinholes. So you get your buddy to hold it with his thumbs in the middle there, and you squeegee from the middle out. Again, do the trimming, and then seal the edges by wiping from the inside to the outside. Done. Just another view, some good-looking Martians, and I think one more. You're going to like this one. This is the hard one to do. The sides are pretty easy. When you get to the front, it's just going to take a little extra caution. All right, you're going to trim the excess and do your dry fitting. One way to see whether you're lined up properly, take a flashlight in that lower picture and shine it from below, and you can check your alignment. You can use it on the outside edges too. Yes, we can pin the corner on this. Pin the corner on the donkey. And then you can clean and wet the surface, clean and wet the decal, or wet the decal, and then you can pin one corner under the legs. Then wet the surface of the decal again for squeegeeing. Go ahead. And do your squeegeeing. Now do the trimming. Only trim the outsides after squeegeeing. Trim the insides and around leg holes after the 24-hour waiting period, okay? Just go slow and constantly keep throwing away those razor knives. They go dull faster than you think, and they're cheap. Just make sure you've always got incredibly dangerous razor knife in your hand at all times. Now the leg hole areas, that looks a little scary right down there, but the reason that that wrinkle, that little pucker is there, that's over a leg hole right now. Okay, and that's all gonna go away when you trim, and then when you put your leg protectors on of your choice, and then bolt your legs in, okay? Like I said, 24 hours before cutting out holes for doors, legs, and other bolt holes. And there you go, there's your new cabinet. And it looks pretty.
Okay, most of you would have stopped at this point. I would expect you to stop and say, I don't have to go any further. I've got a beautiful looking cabinet with a decal. let's stop here. You ought to stop here, okay? But if you haven't got enough smarts to
you're
stop
smart,
here,
you'll me, stop here.
Yeah, if you're like me and you says, I wonder if I can make it look like a show car in a show by clear coating it and doing a lot of work, then watch what happens. And this is not for the light of heart, by the way.
Yes. Prepare to be horrified.
So we're back in the paint booth. There's nothing really to show you to take a picture. We're back in that same paint booth. We're in the paint booth. What do? We clear coat it. We heat it up again, 125 degrees, I think, for like 30 minutes. It's on the sheet. We're shooting it with automotive type clear coat here, the ones they use on cars.
The deadly poisonous kind.
These are isocyanate types. I don't know if you know that, but it's extremely dangerous. The paint that we use, the clear coat that we're using in this particular case. So he was on a full respirator type system. That he did
so
this.
Fill out your will and decide who's getting your gains before you go in the booth.
Okay, so I get it back and I go, you know what? The parts that were not, didn't have a decal on it, they look absolutely great. They look like a black, shiny black, perfect surface for the most part, okay? And a top and on the back, that's great. I'm real happy with that. And then I go, oh my gosh, it's wavy. And the clear coat is going to be a little bit wavy, and because it turns out it's doing something called outgassing, which means there's a chemical reaction between the vinyl decal and the clear coat. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So I'm in panic 101 here, calling up Larry and say, what do I do? And he's laughing at me. He says, you just didn't read the instructions yet. You only started this process, my dear man. What you have to do is take 1200 grit with your DA sander, and you have to rough up the whole surface and make it look like milk. Now, can you imagine we spent all this time, made a perfect decal, I go and have to clear coat it, and now I make it look like this, and the only thing that was trusting Larry that he was going to not leave me down a hole here, because I was pretty much busted up that I couldn't make it look right. So we roughed it all up. Next step is we use a rubbing compound, and all the numbers and all of the types of rubbing compounds and the types of wheels that are used are all on a handout we're going to give you. Not a problem. So first step is we use a rubbing compound, and we have to rub the whole surface out. Now, if you can take a look at that upper corner, and if you in the upper picture, and you probably can see in the lower left corner, there's a white mark there. Do you see that? Well, guess what? Old Bozo here kept the sander in one place too long, at too high a speed, and I ground right through the decal. So what do? First thing, I call Don and tell him to go get drunk because we just wrecked the whole side.
And I did. Oh, wait, I was already drunk at all.
So the next thing I do is I call Larry and say, hey, I screwed this up. And Larry says, well, now you messed it up. Because we don't usually have this condition.
Oh.
And of course, I couldn't do it once, but I had to do it twice up by the flipper hole. Now, I got lucky on the flipper hole. I'm sorry, the flipper button hole. Because I'm very close to the edge and the guard's going to cover most of it, okay? This is not funny, though. I mean, this is pretty much sickening. I don't have the pictures of the repair. We did a repair. It came out okay. But I learned a big lesson, okay, on the speed of the sander and how fast.
You called me up. I said, who died?
So we got involved, but we wanted to show you that, no, we're not perfect. We're amateurs here.
Far from perfect.
So the next step to do is a glazing compound. It's the final step. I put on, it's called machine glaze. It's kind of a gray in color. We put it on. We use a different type of polishing wheel on that, and we polish it up, and I think you'll be able to, you can, it's not perfect when you use the rubbing compound, but I'm actually with this glazing. You'll see the final effect in a few minutes of what it looks like. I think it came out really nice. Was it a lot of work? Oh, my God. You don't want to do this. You don't have to. Because this is, I mean, I probably spend an hour to 2 hours on the side, okay, of doing this. And you have to be so careful that you don't make a mistake here. And then you'll see.
But this is what you get.
This is the effect you're going to get. It's very, very shiny. It looks somewhat like one of those show cars. And we'll. If you want to take it off, he's going to take the covers off of it. We're going to walk it up and down a couple of times back and forth and let you see it. Mr. Rubber, yes.
Questions? Got 2 questions?
Yes,
Rubber. Yeah, when you squeeze the Windex out, then the adhesive, it's got all, and the liquid all got squeezed out, and the adhesive is then stuck.
Yeah.
The stuff. But again, let it wait 24 hours so it can really grip.
Yes.
Okay. And in the when you heat cured, after you had it on.
Let me just repeat your question. He asked, after the Windex is squeegeed out and the adhesive grabbed, still wait 24 hours? The answer is yes. These adhesives develop a bond over time.
But they're grabbed at that.
But they have grabbed. It's not going to move. Don't try and peel it up.
And then, and yours, where you said you heat cured the clear coat,
yes.
That didn't have any effect on the adhesive stuff?
No effect on it whatsoever.
Okay.
He asked whether the baking of the clear coat softened the adhesive, and it does not soften the adhesive.
If you want, when it's going down, if you want to see the effect, if you want to see the effect on the top here, take a look, okay? The repair is right here. I'm going to show it to you. I made a repair here. You can see the repair. The repair up on the side here is not as noticeable. Those are the only two areas. So they're going to take it down, and they're going to rotate it, bring it down, then they're going to change the rotation so you can see the inside and the outside of the cabinet. Okay?
Very nice.
So there's a, I put a chlorine door in the flipper buttons. Yes, somebody's going to say those are wrong colored flipper buttons, aren't those? I know. They're yellow instead of red, but I thought they looked good. So, Mr. Gavin Miller, question, sir. The process to remove the original decal was, and I'm sorry I didn't show that, but I took it outside and I used my DA sander and I started with 80 grit and I just took it all off, right down to the bare wood. And that's about a 2 to 3 hour job, and it's a messy job type of thing. So that's how I did it. Yes, sir.
It was a decal, not painted?
I'm sorry, this was a screen print.
Okay, all right.
So it wasn't a decal, I had to sand off a screen print. Yes, sir.
Another way to do that is and it comes off.
On screen printing or on decals?
The same way.
Like I said in the beginning, there's a lot of ways to do the same job. We just did it. This is the way we picked. And yes, sir. He asked
whether we can just put decals over the final sealed paint coat. And absolutely, yes. We recommend you stop at this point and enjoy your game. You have lots of work to do to get the rest of it going. The clear coat is risky.
I think that's not the question he asked.
No, I'm sorry.
Exactly. Okay, what happens is, Don didn't really get into this, but there is a slight edge, okay, on the bottom of the cabinet of about a 16th of an inch that you can see, okay? And to get that, we had to spray that. Plus, my painter, for safety's sake, said, why don't we give it another coat? Why don't we paint it? Because he felt it would be more stable, the wood, over time. But you're probably right. Like I said, we just did that. So, thank you.
Also, when you trim the decals, you might see a white line on the very edge of the decals. And you take a fine brush and black paint and very carefully go along and blend in the bottom edge of the decal. Because the decal has thickness and it's white, except on its printed surface.
Okay, I would like to take 1 minute, and Brian is going to show you the play field for the, well, it would have been this game completely done. Well, that didn't happen, but Brian's going to talk about it, what he did on the play field for the restoration. Brian from HSA, and they've got a booth upstairs with the cage.
Hi, my name is Brian Weissman. I'm with HSA Pinball. Play field restoration. Now, when Mark gave this to me, he actually repaired this hole himself and repaired this hole, so I really did kind of from here down, kind of. I'm not a big fan of painted shooter length, but this one kind of required it. This is a about $400, $450 complete job with clear coat, touch-ups, airbrushing, and so on. The thing, this presentation is not about clear coating as far as HSA, but the thing that separates, you know, HSA, Playful Renovations, Bill Davis, and other guys out there is that we are more of a budget clear coat restoration. All our restorations are usually around $300 to $400 complete with clear coat. And we do more spot airbrushing repairs. We don't get a lot into the hidden areas up in here. And very similar process to what you saw with the cabinets. We have a spray booth. We bake them at 130 degrees for 30 minutes. I don't really do this for a living as far as I run an auto body shop. That's why I have access to the spray booth. This play field had repairs up in here. It had repairs in here. All the inserts were redone in here and around the black. This one was replaced. A few of these in here were replaced. And overall, it came out pretty good.
Beautiful.
Then we're gonna. I got Tony's gonna walk it back, and so you can take a quick look at it if you're ready. Okay, go ahead.
Now, what I normally don't do, Mark did a. He put a protector in here, and he did all the repairs in here. I normally don't do that, so that's really not my repair. I just the airbrushing around it.
Okay, guess what we got coming up next? Yes, 1 second question.
Wait.
My turnaround time is about 6 to 8 weeks. My average restoration is 350, 400. Some of them get up to the 450 range. And NOS plate fields take about 4 weeks, but we normally no longer run anything beyond like a 3 month turnaround time. You send me the bare piece of wood just like how you see it. I clean it. I base clear coat it. I do all the touch up work, airbrushing. I re clear coat it. I sand it flat. I re clear coat it again, and I usually buff it. So I don't do cabinets. I do remove Mylar, and that's included in the price of $350, depending on how bad the play field is. Yeah, I'm not a fan of decals. Some of those insert artwork is Jeff McAfee's. I think I used two of them on that play field. That play field has frosted inserts, which become more of a tricky repair. A lot of the decals in the market are not frosted, so you can actually tell which ones are frosted and which ones are not. But normally I don't use decals at all for artwork.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, let's have some fun.
Trivia prize time, rock and roll or pinball.
And let's give something away, okay?
Now, here's how it works. Let's explain it to everybody.
Mr. Blackwell, come.
Mr. Joe Blackwell.
Hello.
First of all, for those who don't know Joe Blackwell, he is the director of service and parts sales for Stern Pinball.
Customer service.
And customer service. And by that way, he's also a nice guy.
Thank you.
And he also donated all these playfields that you see up here, not the mystery gift, but all the playfields, and they're for display purposes only.
Joe will not take any responsibility for the mystery gift.
Tell me when to go.
Let's go, Joe.
Okay.
Okay, let's go through the rules real quickly. And like you heard at 10 o'clock this morning, I believe it was, or 9 o'clock, it's my game, so it's my rules. Okay? So here's how it goes. Joe's going to pull a number out. You have to stand up. We're going to ask you to either pick a rock and roll question or a pinball question, and you get your choice. If you don't get the question right, you get a bag of candy.
Okay?
If you get the question right, you come up to the table. On the table, there are translates, there are t-shirts, there are hats, there's all sorts of stuff up here. You get one item only, okay? If it says jackpot up there and you get the right answer, you get to go and get a playfield. Okay? You take your choice of playfields. Some of the playfields are even signed by the designers and artists. Okay?
But make the choice quick because we will be moving fast.
Okay.
Okay, Joe.
Wait a minute. Hold it. We're gonna put those in there, mix it on up, and pull them.
Mix it up. You don't need no speaking mixers.
All right for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Joseph.
Last three digits. 690.
690. Is there a 690?
He already. Okay, next.
Last three digits. 542.
542. Okay.
Rock and roll or pinball? Pinball. Did they make more of Funhouse or more of Star Trek Next Generation? Answer? Yes. Next Generation. Come on up. Pick up anything off the table.
Joseph.
696.
Right here. Rock and roll. Rock and roll. Eric Clapton played guitar on Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff. True or false?
False.
Okay. Pick something off the table.
598.
Pinball or rock and roll?
Rock.
Whoa.
Yes,
or airplanes.
False.
Oh, it's a jackpot question! You're gonna get my play field if you get this right. Question is, what is the name of the band Keith Richard formed in the 80s? Rolling Stones or Expensive Winos?
The Expensive
Winos? Answer? The Expensive Winos.
534!
Pinball, pick a play field. Any play field.
Pinball.
All right, now we need to do some computer work there. You need to go, okay, we're here. Did they make more of Fishtails or High Speed 2 Getaway? Fishtails, you get candy.
568.
Pinball, rock and roll. Pinball, it's a jackpot question. Did they make more of Congo or more of Whodunit? Whodunit, that's who. You got candy.
591.
Okay.
Pinball, rock and roll.
Pinball.
Did they make more of Johnny Mnemonic or Circus Voltaire? Remember, it's Johnny.
6-1-1.
Pinball or rock and roll?
Pinball.
It's a jackpot question.
Uh-oh. Can I get some help?
No, it, no, put that book down.
Put that book down?
He's got the book in front of him with all the numbers.
Did they make more of Gilligan's Island, little buddy? Or more of Monster Bash?
Monster Bash.
Answer? Hey, you little buddy, it's Gilligan's Island. Game time.
6-2-3.
Yes, sir. Rock and roll. What does ACDC mean? Australian Children Bingo Chow or Alternating Current Direct Current? This is a family show. Answer? Alternating Current Direct Current. Anything off the table?
6-1-4. All right.
Pinball, rock and roll. Pinball. Did they make more of IJ or TZ?
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone. Anything off the top of the table?
5-9-0.
Pinball or rock and roll?
Pinball.
Pinball. They make more Popeye or more Medieval Madness?
Popeye.
Game one again. Top of the table.
5-5-4.
Nobody? Okay, Joe.
Who left?
5-8-4.
Oh, that guy.
Tom Taylor, I'm sorry.
Tom Taylor.
We know you.
Sorry.
Sit down. No, sit down. Not that.
Go ahead.
He'll miss it.
Did they make more of Doctor Who or more of Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Creature.
It's the creature. Pick a playing field.
6-1-0. 6-1-0.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Pinball rock. Yes, pinball rock and roll. Rock and roll. Rock and roll. Okay. Okay, the question. Oh,
it's a jackpot!
And the band Kansas is actually from Missouri. True or false?
Oh!
Candy for her.
6-7-0.
Okay, rock and roll or pinball? Pinball?
Pinball.
Did they make more Gilligan's Island or more Scared Stiff? Candy.
5-9-3.
Right.
Pinball or rock and roll? Pinball. Next.
Oh,
jackpot. And the question is, did they make more Popeye or more Dirty Harry? Dirty Harry, you say?
Popeye.
Oh, Popeye candy for you. Joseph.
6-2-5.
Okay, rock and roll? Rock and roll or pinball? Pinball? Did they make more Jurassic Parks or more fun houses? Jurassic Park, and the answer is...
It's Funhouse.
Funhouse.
5-2-5.
Wait a minute there.
Beat him.
Okay. Yell it out. What? Pinball or rock and roll? Rock and roll. Peter Frampton was once a member of this band, the Small Faces or Humble Pie. Small Faces, is that Small Faces you said?
No.
Yes or no, I guess. Small Faces? Humble Pie? Humble Pie, come on up.
5-4-7.
5-4-7, okay.
Pinball, rock and roll?
Rock and roll. Jackpot. In the 60s, Ted Nugent and Bruce Springsteen played together in a band called the Asbury Dukes. True or false?
Did you say false?
False.
Joe, what do you think?
False.
Pick a play field.
5-3-0.
Ready.
Pinball or rock and roll?
Rock and roll.
The band Jethro Tull is named after the 18th century inventor of the seed drill or lead singer, flute player Jethro Tull.
I'll go with 18th century.
Answer? 18th century inventor of the seed drill. Anything off the top of the table?
6-5-8.
Oh no.
Oh
here
no,
we go.
Mr. Hayes.
All right.
Rock and roll.
Try rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Ooh. Which one of these three singers, which one did not fire their band? Meat Loaf, Steve Perry of Journey, Dennis DeYoung of Styx. Which one?
You mean what? Which one wasn't fired? Or
which one? No, me.
Which one didn't fire?
Either way, it depends on your. If you ask that person, he'll tell you.
If you ask,
the band will tell you it's the other way. Which one of those people?
That's kind of an ambush.
You wish. No, it was Meat. Are you saying it was Meatloaf fired? Steve Perry fired?
No. Did Meatloaf fire his band? Or is
anybody else having trouble?
Well, fire their band. Dennis DeYoung fired Sticks.
Right? Okay, no, the question is
which one did not?
Oh, Jesus.
Jeez. Is anybody having a
Meatloaf?
An answer?
Oh. 6-2-9.
Okay, Bimbo, rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Where is the house of the rising sun? Chicago or New Orleans? Okay. An answer? You said New Orleans, didn't you? An answer?
New Orleans.
Come on down.
Top anything off top table?
5-4-8.
Bimbo, rock and roll. Bimbo. Jackpot question.
Whoa.
Did they make more of Rescue 911 or more Flintstones?
Flintstones.
It's the Flintstones. Right, Liz? Pickle Playfield.
6-6-8-9. Right here.
Pinball, rock and roll. Pinball. Did they make more of Data East Star Wars or more of World Cup Soccer? Star Wars. Trust the horse, Luke. You win.
5-6-3.
Pinball. To jackpot, did they make more of Street Fighter II or more Medieval Madness? Street Fighter II. Yes, it's Street Fighter II. You win a playfield. One playfield to go.
6-6-3 right here.
Oh,
there we go.
Jump on up. Pinball, rock and roll.
I'll do rock and roll.
Rock and roll. It's a jackpot. Which one of these famous guitar players did not play in the Yardbirds? Jimmy Page, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, or Jeff Beck?
And when I say that, the other three obviously did play. Okay, in that band at one time.
Or we can ask Rob about this question. Spell Jimmy wrong, yeah.
I got it right. I'll say Page.
Whoa! Jimmy Hendrix! Can I detect that a few people knew this answer?
6-7-9!
Pinball. Did they make more of Rocho or more of Cue Ball Wizard?
Ball Wizard.
It's Rocho!
5-9-4!
Oh. Pinball? Did they make more Monster Bash or more Checkpoint?
Checkpoint.
Come on up.
I mean, they're on top of the table.
600!
Right. Pinball, rock and roll.
Back to rock. Whoops.
I'm sorry, but Rod, rock and roll questions.
You're getting a pinball question. It's a jackpot. You're better off that way. Did they make more of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or more No Fear?
Turtles.
No Fear.
6-7-7.
Pinball, rock and roll. I mean pinball.
Pinball.
Did they make more Shack Attack or more Attack from Mars?
Attack.
We just now found the third student. Welcome. Come on. No, what are you? Let's put mine. Attached. Yes, you win. I'm just kidding.
6-8-7.
Okay, 1 second. Just for fun, anybody want to take a guess at how many the difference was between those two games? If you back it up, they'll remember.
No, going forward. Shack Attack or Attack from Mars?
Just for fun.
2.
60? 1? Okay, flip it over, Harold. 45 games. Okay. Difference. Okay, next.
6-8-7.
Got bored.
5-2-7.
Yeah.
Okay, now 1 second. You have a very special opportunity. If you get this right, you can take the mystery prize, or you can take a playfield if you get it right.
Okay, question? Did they make more of Safebracker or more of Championship Hub?
Safebracker.
Safebracker!
Yeah. Wait a second. Which one are you going for?
I'll take the mystery.
Okay, no, you don't get to keep the white. I want that sheet back, my
boy. I'd love to have it there.
Where do you think he's sleeping tonight?
Hey, and you've got to show it to everybody.
Oh, yeah!
Five, two, nine.
Okay, 1 second. I just want to point out that Jim Radowitz painted that. Okay, Jim, you put your hand up. Mm-hmm. He repainted that. It obviously was very faded. We're giving one of those to Rob for the auction, the charity auction on Saturday night.
$5,000 at least, eh?
So we'll see how it goes. Okay, next, Joe.
529. 529. There we go.
Did they make more of Lethal Weapon 3 or more of Indiana Jones? Hi, Jay. Yes. Come on up. Anything off the top of the table?
634. 634.
Okay. Next question. Did they make more Junkyard or more Teed Off? Junkyard? Teed Off. You get game day. By how many?
655.
Over here. Oh,
there we go. Oh, there's a jackpot. Did they make more of Hook or more of Theater of Magic?
I'm
going to
say Hook.
Hook! Oh. You win the play for you.
Make him guess how many.
How many?
Well, yeah. We'll give you a hand if you can get within 100.
All right, I'll say 300.
Okay.
130.
Oh, okay.
All you lose.
Okay, if you see the word jackpot come up here, I'm sorry, but we don't have more prizes for jackpot, so
no more play fields.
684.
Don, give me my glasses. That's it.
Did they make more of Black Rose or more of Gilligan's Island?
Probably Gilligan's Island,
that's unfortunate. G.I. Come on up and pick a prize.
539. 539.
Oh, there he is. Did they make more Cactus Canyons or more Cactus Jacks? Cactus Jack. It's Cactus Jack. Come on up.
636.
Did they make more Championship Pub or more Waterworld? Waterworld, you get candy.
Okay, we're going to to get through this real quickly. If he's going to call your number, if you're here, come on up and just take a prize until we're all done with all of them, okay? No more questions because we run out of time, so just pull numbers, Joe.
674.
All right.
Come on up, young lady.
671. 683. 683. 688. 522.
I saw you snarf that candy, Mr. Burke.
575.
Three t-shirts left to go. Slow down.
662. 676.
One more. Last prize.
538.
Come on, Randy. Thank you very much. We had a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed it.